Returning of the Word of God to Titus in chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. We're going to read from verse number 1. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behaviour as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary parts may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Saviour, in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Amen. And we're turning to Ephesians 4, verses 15 to 16. And I trust you'll see why we read from Titus 2 in a little while. Here we have verse 15 and 16, but we'll read from verse number 14 to give the context for this verse. But speaking the truth in love, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Well, we're coming to the end of a mini section here in chapter 4 of Ephesians this evening. I trust you will know and remember that we have sought to see what Paul has been saying in this fourth chapter. He has been stressing the vital importance of unity in the local church, in fact, in the church universal as well, but certainly in the local church here in Ephesus. Their unity was important because, after all, they are one in Christ. But he has also demonstrated that they are diverse as well. And in particular, he has mentioned and spoken about the fact that they have different gifts. The Lord has given gifts to his church, and yet we are not all given the same gifts. It comes from the same grace, but the gifts are different. And then Paul has mentioned and spoken about different gifts that have been given to the church and different offices, things like the apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. And so there is that emphasis upon the word-based ministry for the good, well-being and health of the local church. And so these specially mentioned gifts, the teaching gifts They are to be used for the building up of the saints, for the strengthening of the people of God, and for that increasing unity in the gospel. And last time we saw how we are to be tethered as a local church and as individuals to the word of God. It's very easy to be tossed to and fro by the latest heresy. And we mentioned last time that there isn't really a new heresy under the sun. It's the same things being recycled, rehashed. But we find ourselves being prone to fall into those traps, be convinced by them, if we do not have a firm grip and grasp upon the scriptures of truth. And we saw how, as believers, we need to be growing, we need to be firm and settled and not carried about with every wind of doctrine. And tonight, briefly, I want us to consider verse 15 and the latter part of verse 15 and then verse 16. And we're going to look at a picture that Paul has used already in this epistle, and it's a picture of the body. So we're going to think about the head, secondly the body, and the necessity to be growing together. The head. In verse 15 and the latter part, it tells us that we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We are to be growing in Christ. He is the head. Now, this is mentioned in other places in this chapter and in other chapters as well of Ephesians, but also in other epistles as well. For example, Ephesians 1 verse 22, there it says of Christ hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Here again in verse 15 of chapter 4, which is the head, even Christ. And then coming over to chapter 5 and verse 23, we're going to come on to this in the will of God to see how we should interact as husbands to wives, wives to husbands, our behaviour with one another. But in verse 23, we read this: for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the saviour of the body. Moving on to Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, we read this: and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And then in verse 10 and chapter 2 of Colossians, ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And there's one further mention that it's worthwhile just noting, and that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 3. And there we have the Apostle Paul dealing with the church at Ephesus, and he reminds them of this: but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. When you look at this picture that Paul, under inspiration, uses concerning the church, the way in which it is like a body, with Christ being the head, the body being the church, it is a very apt and a very applicable illustration, because it is the head that controls everything else. You don't see an arm wandering down the aisle or a leg sort of hopping down the street. It has to belong to a body, and that body is controlled by a head. The head will control movement, direction, the activity, even emotion, speech. In fact, it controls all of the mechanisms for life. The signals from the brain are responsible for electrical activity in the heart. They are responsible for the way in which the lungs will expand and deflate. Everything is controlled by the brain. Now, you might be thinking this is a bit of a biology lesson tonight. Well, it's good to look at biology, because the brain, it sits in your skull, and down from the base of the brain, you have the spinal cord coming down. And then out of the spinal cord, you have branches of nerves, and that attaches to every part of the body. And so if there is a problem with your spinal cord, depending where it gets severed or where it gets damaged, you then find that you have a problem in the extremities to which those nerves supply. So if you had a problem up here in your spinal cord, you wouldn't be able to do very much at all, perhaps apart from just move your head. If it was much lower down, you could move your arms, you could breathe independently, but you wouldn't be able to move your legs. And so the brain is connected to every part of the body. You can live without a leg. You could live without an arm. You can live without a kidney. There are some organs which we consider to be vital, such as your heart and lung. It is even possible to live without those for a moment. But what you won't be able to do is to live without the head and without the brain. Immediately there is a catastrophic damage to the brain, then all life ceases. And as we think about our union with Christ, he is the head. He is the one that controls us. As we grow in him, we are to be governed by his will. We are to be obedient to his direction, and we are to be expressive in the love that he gives to us. And so as he is growing in us, and we growing in him, we do as he pleases. And we live as he pleases. And what he dictates is what will happen. He is the head. Without him, John would say in John 15, they're referring to Christ being the vine and the branches, being his people. Without him, we can do nothing. Without the head, there is no church. Without Christ, there is no church. But we also have the body being mentioned. And that comes out in this passage in chapter 4 and verse 15, about growing up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Clearly in our minds we must have that first principle of being joined to the head, to Christ. But now we are thinking about the rest of the body. And there is union with Christ for all of his people. They are connected to him, if we like. However, as a body, we are connected in those bonds of peace to each other as well. If you wanted to walk down the aisle, there are huge numbers of mechanisms and processes taking place in your body to allow you to do that. And yet we would take it so much for granted. You would need your eyes to see where you are going. You would need your heart and lungs to be working so that the muscles have the oxygen and the other gas exchange taking place to ensure that you have what you need to move across the room. You need your muscles, you need your bones to be working, you need the tendons, and you need all kinds of things working together to ensure that you get across the room. And if one part of that fails, the activity will be hindered, if not halted for good. In fact, to walk across the room, you need some tiny bones in your ear to be working well as well. Because without those, you don't have balance. And if they weren't working very well, you wouldn't be able to get across the room because you'd be staggering all over the place and end up falling over. And so, as a church and as God's people together, we are joined together and we need each other. We need the feet and the legs to work together. It's no good having one leg going one direction and the other leg deciding it's going the other direction. We all need to be working together for the good of each other and for the necessity for us to grow and to develop. Each part is necessary. Each part is vital. And there is a requirement that the whole is working to achieve an effectual working. And so together, working produces the benefit. Now, when we think about the local church, we are all different. I am so thankful that there's not somebody else like me, because I probably wouldn't get on with them very well. But do we find that, well, there are differences? We have different temperaments, we have different personalities, we have different gifts and skills. And so it's important that we're able to work together for the Lord's service. Let me give you an example. Just imagine we wanted to have an outreach meal. We wanted to invite people from the town to come along to this meal. And somebody says, well, I'm going to go and get all the food. Somebody else says, well, you get the food, but I'm going to prepare the food. Somebody else says, I'm going to make sure the room is all sorted out. Somebody else says, well, I'm going to come down and make sure the heating is on. That's a bit apt at the moment, isn't it? And somebody else says, well, I can't come to any of that, but when it's all over, I'm going to come afterwards. I'm going to hoover up and clean up. Well, that's great, isn't it? Everybody working, doing their little bit to ensure that this meal goes off without a hitch. However, we all do need to be working together for the same purpose. It's no good the person saying, well, I'm going to buy all the food, but I'm not going to buy it until 8 o'clock in the evening. And the meal is at 7 o'clock. And it's no good the person saying, well, I'm going to come at 12 o'clock midday to get things ready, and yet there's no food there to make ready. And there's no point somebody else saying, I'm going to come and hoover the day before it all happens, because it's all a mess. We have to be working together. You might think, well, that's a bit of a daft illustration, but we can see how, unless we're working together, going in the same direction, working for that same purpose, then we'll end up not producing the work that is required. And so Paul here is telling the church how we are to be working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So we are to be those, thirdly, that are growing together. It's not that some have no growth and others have great growth. We should all be growing in the knowledge and love of the Saviour. And thinking about this picture of the body, when one part of the body is limited or restricted or incapacitated in some way, it will require more effort and more energy by another body part to compensate. And when we have a part of us which isn't functioning as it should, we don't throw our arms up in the air and say, well, we don't need it and it needs to be cut off and got rid of. We want to find out what is wrong, how it can be remedied, and so attention and care is made for that injured body part. When we think about the church, it's not every man or woman or child for themselves. But when a brother or sister is struggling, we're to go alongside them and to help, to be a mutual support for them, to be an encourager for them, to warn them perhaps if they are going in a direction which isn't going to be helpful to their soul. We need to be those that are patient in our love for them. We are to be those that instruct those who perhaps are confused or don't know what to do, or don't know which direction to take. The people of God are a living entity, and we're moving together. We're growing in Christ, who is our head. And we're making our journey from this world to the glorious world that has no end. And so we are on this journey, one with another. I read from Titus chapter 2. And there we have in action how Paul encourages Titus to treat and to exhort the church there that he was responsible for. And here we have, again, it's not everybody for themselves. It's not a case of you do what you want to do and I'm going to do what I want to do and you don't tell me what to do and I won't tell you what to do. No, they're working together and they're helping each other. So, for example, we have the responsibility of those who are older in the faith, more spiritually mature, to help those that are younger. And we have the younger ones that in the faith are encouraged to be those who listen to what's being given to them as counsel, because these ones that have gone before have the advice and have the experience. We do just need to make mention that spiritual maturity doesn't necessarily come with age. I remember when I was at university, I went to a church. There was an old gentleman. He'd been a Christian for many years, probably 50, 60 perhaps. And yet, he didn't seem to really understand very much at all. But he also had a problem that he didn't really want to be taught either. And so although he was an older believer, he hadn't matured in his faith. You can have somebody who has been a Christian just a short time who has tremendous maturity beyond their years or even their spiritual years. And so we must be cautious about equating spiritual maturity with chronological age. But that said, it should be the case that as we grow and get older as believers, that we develop a supporting, helping role to those who are younger. Listen to this. The aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. That is the example that they are to give to the people, the generation below. They are to be those who aren't wavering, sound in faith. Serious people. Mentions there also charity, love. They're also to be patient. Perhaps that goes against what we become as we get a little bit older, less patient. Here Titus is reminding the church here, or Paul is reminding Titus to remind the church here that the older people and the older men should be patient. The aged women, verse 3, likewise they be in behaviour as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. And then goes on to talk about servants. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not purloining again. Not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Saviour in all things. Paul here, whether he's talking in Titus or in Ephesians, reminding us that we are on this journey together. The people of God are to be bound together, one with each other, and there to be good examples to each other, but also to be a help and a support to one another. And as a church, we are to grow together. There must be a journey that we are on. Not saying that we've arrived, that we've got it all sorted, we can tick off this, tick off that. No, we are growing, maturing, and growing in Christ. Something the elders need to be aware for. The church officers need to be aware. Looking out for, are we growing? Are we maturing? But all of us need to be on our guard, watching and checking. Are we growing? And if not, perhaps we need to have somebody come alongside and help. Perhaps we need to be encouraged or rebuked, corrected or instructed. Paul here uses the picture of the body, Christ being the head. Let's not forget that. May Christ have the preeminence in all things. We are the body. We're connected to him. And yet we are connected and depend upon each other. And may we grow together, walking in his ways, serving him, and working together for his kingdom and for his glory. Amen.